This is the North American Debrief by Atlas News. Welcome to the North America Debrief by Atlas News, where we cover this week's top stories from the region and give you in-depth analysis of their context and help you understand how it affects you. Starting off, we delve into the complexities of international affairs. Today, we'll be discussing the recent interception of an Iranian weapons shipment destined for Yemen by a U.S. Coast Guard cutter operating in the CENTCOM area of responsibility. This event raises crucial questions about regional tensions, arms embargoes, and the ongoing conflict in Yemen. On January 28, the U.S. Coast Guard cutter, Clarence Sutphin Jr., intercepted a dhow sailing through the Arabian Sea. Upon boarding the vessel, Coast Guard teams discovered a significant cache of weaponry, including missile components, explosives, and communication equipment. Officials confirmed the shipment originated in Iran and was headed for Houthi-controlled areas of Yemen. This seizure holds particular significance for several reasons. Firstly, it violates UN Security Council Resolution 2216, which imposes an arms embargo on Houthi rebels. Secondly, it comes amidst heightened tensions following Houthi attacks on commercial ships, prompting U.S. operations against the group. Tragically, these operations resulted in the deaths of two Navy SEALs during a separate interdiction attempt. Many listeners might wonder, why was a Coast Guard vessel involved in this operation? The U.S. Coast Guard possesses broad authority to enforce international law in international waters, including combating weapons smuggling. They often collaborate with regional partners and the Navy in such endeavors, demonstrating the multifaceted nature of maritime security operations. Furthermore, this incident highlights the complex dynamics at play in the region. Iran's alleged support for the Houthis raises concerns about its regional ambitions and its potential to destabilize already fragile states. Meanwhile, the ongoing conflict in Yemen continues to inflict immense humanitarian suffering, further complicated by the involvement of various actors with competing interests. The intercepted weapons shipment serves as a stark reminder of the ongoing arms flow fueling the Yemeni conflict. It raises crucial questions about accountability for violations of UN resolutions and the effectiveness of current embargoes. Additionally, the incident underscores the risks associated with heightened tensions in the region, particularly for international shipping and maritime security. As we move forward, it remains unclear how this event will impact the trajectory of the Yemeni conflict and regional dynamics. Whether it prompts further escalation or encourages diplomatic efforts towards peace remains to be seen. We urge listeners to stay informed and engage in constructive dialogue to navigate these complex issues and advocate for peaceful resolutions. Next, we delve deeper into the already tense situation in Yemen, where the Houthi rebel group claims to have shot down another American MQ-9 Reaper drone. This alleged incident, if confirmed, marks a concerning escalation in the ongoing conflict and raises critical questions about regional security. On February 20th, Houthi military spokesperson Yahya Saria announced the downing of an American drone near the Yemeni port city of Al-Hudaydah. He claimed the drone was engaged in hostile missions, and its destruction served as a response to Yemeni sovereignty violations. Footage released by the Houthis appears to show a mid-air interception, but no wreckage has been independently verified. This wouldn't be the first such claim. In November 2023, the Houthis reported downing another Reaper drone, later confirmed by U.S. officials. While the U.S. military never officially commented on the specific incident, it acknowledged the interception of a drone in international airspace by a Houthi surface-to-air missile system. Debris later identified as belonging to the downed drone washed ashore in Somalia. The lack of official U.S. confirmation surrounding this latest claim leaves room for uncertainty. However, if verified, it signifies a concerning development in the Yemeni conflict. It could indicate an improvement in Houthi air defense capabilities or a bolder approach in targeting U.S. assets. The potential implications are significant. This incident could further strain U.S.-Houthi relations, complicate ongoing diplomatic efforts, and heighten regional tensions. It also raises questions about the effectiveness of U.S. military operations in the region and the risks associated with drone warfare. As we move forward, it's crucial to urge all parties involved to prioritize dialogue and de-escalation. The human cost of the Yemeni conflict continues to mount, and further escalation could only worsen the suffering of innocent civilians. We encourage listeners to stay informed about developments in the region and advocate for peaceful resolutions to this complex conflict. Now we delve into a shocking international case involving alleged nuclear materials trafficking by a Yakuza leader. This incident raises serious concerns about nuclear proliferation and the complex interplay between organized crime, international actors, and national security. The U.S. Attorney's Office for the Southern District of New York has indicted Takeshi Ebisawa, leader of a Japanese Yakuza group, for conspiring to traffic nuclear materials, including uranium and weapons-grade plutonium, from Burma to other countries like Iran. The indictment details communications between Ebisawa and undercover DEA agents, where he allegedly offered to sell these materials and expressed interest in acquiring military-grade weapons. The indictment describes a multi-year scheme. Ebisawa initially offered nuclear materials to an undercover agent posing as a weapons trafficker, later claiming access to over 2,000 kilograms of thorium and 100 kilograms of uranium. He allegedly even provided samples, later confirmed to contain detectable uranium, thorium, and weapons-grade plutonium. This case raises significant concerns. If true, it highlights the potential for organized crime groups to acquire and sell nuclear materials, posing a grave threat to international security. The involvement of Iran, a nation with a controversial nuclear program, further intensifies these concerns. Several questions remain unanswered. How did Ebisawa allegedly obtain these materials? Were there other parties involved? The investigation is ongoing, and further details may emerge. This case underscores the importance of international cooperation in combating nuclear proliferation. Strengthening international treaties and law enforcement collaboration are crucial to prevent such materials from falling into the wrong hands. As the legal proceedings unfold, transparency and accountability are vital. The public deserves to understand the full extent of this alleged scheme and the measures taken to address it. We urge listeners to stay informed about developments in this case and advocate for robust international cooperation to prevent similar threats in the future. Next, the recent escalation of Houthi attacks against commercial shipping vessels in the Red Sea has raised serious concerns about the economic, environmental, and humanitarian impact of the ongoing conflict in Yemen. The United States State Department has strongly condemned the Houthi attacks, calling them reckless and indiscriminate. They further designated the Houthis as a specially designated global terrorist, citing their attacks on U.S. military forces and international maritime vessels. This designation highlights the severity of the situation and emphasizes the international pressure on the Houthis to cease their actions. The attacks are having a crippling effect on global trade, with shipping costs skyrocketing and major companies suspending operations in the Red Sea. This disruption is impacting the delivery of essential goods like food and medicine, particularly in war-torn Yemen and other vulnerable countries in the region. The Houthis claim their actions are aimed at pressuring countries they believe are aiding Israel. But the reality is that innocent civilians are bearing the brunt of their attacks. The targeting of vessels carrying fuel and fertilizer raises concerns about potential environmental damage, including oil spills and disruptions to the Yemeni fishing industry. These incidents could have long-term consequences for the delicate ecosystem of the Red Sea and the livelihoods of those who depend on it. The escalation of violence threatens to derail the fragile peace process in Yemen, which has been painstakingly negotiated for the past 2 years. The Houthis' actions are alienating the international community and jeopardizing the possibility of a peaceful resolution to the conflict. The United States, alongside other countries, has vowed to take action to protect freedom of navigation and commercial shipping in the Red Sea. This may include increased naval patrols, sanctions, and diplomatic pressure. However, finding a solution that addresses the root causes of the conflict and ensures humanitarian aid reaches those in need remains a critical challenge. The Houthis claim their attacks are in response to the Israeli-Palestinian conflict and the perceived siege on Gaza. However, experts believe their ultimate goal is to exert economic pressure on Israel and its allies by disrupting Red Sea trade. While the Houthis have legitimate grievances, their methods are causing immense harm to innocent people and jeopardizing regional stability. Finding a peaceful resolution to the conflict in Yemen requires a multi-pronged approach. This includes addressing the humanitarian crisis, de-escalating the violence, and finding a political solution that addresses the underlying grievances of all parties involved. Next, we delve into the recent tensions near Kinmen Island between China and Taiwan. This situation raises critical questions about regional stability, international interests, and the delicate balance of power in the Taiwan Strait. On February 20th, the U.S. State Department urged both China and Taiwan to exercise restraint and refrain from escalating tensions following a series of incidents near Kinmen Island. Spokesperson Matthew Miller emphasized the importance of maintaining the status quo, which has preserved peace and stability in the region for decades. The U.S. statement highlights concerns about potential miscalculations and the risk of unilateral actions disrupting the status quo. The Taiwan Strait holds significant economic and strategic importance for the world, making its stability a global concern. Taiwan's military clarified that it currently has no plans to assist the Coast Guard near Kinmen Island. The U.S., however, reiterated its interest in peaceful resolution and encouraged meaningful dialogue between both sides to address underlying issues. This situation underscores the complex dynamics at play in the Taiwan Strait. The U.S. seeks to maintain the status quo while urging dialogue to address tensions. Continued communication, restraint, and adherence to international norms remain crucial to preventing escalation and ensuring regional stability.
U.S. urges both sides to avoid escalation and maintain the status quo.
Concerns exist about potential miscalculations and unilateral actions. Peaceful resolution and dialogue are crucial for long-term stability. The Taiwan Strait holds global significance, making its stability a shared concern. Moving towards Ukraine, recent statements by U.S. Army officials raise concerns about potential disruptions to training and supplies due to financial constraints, highlighting the complexities of supporting Ukraine in its ongoing conflict with Russia. Colonel Martin O'Donnell, spokesperson for U.S. Army Europe and Africa Command, warned that operations supporting Ukraine's military are at risk due to insufficient funding. He emphasized the urgency of approving an aid bill currently stalled in the U.S. House of Representatives, stating, "There are a lot of risks right now if we don't get the money. The potential consequences are significant. Training programs for Ukrainian troops in Europe could be suspended, jeopardizing their preparedness. Additionally, logistical support for transporting supplies across Europe could be hampered, further hindering Ukraine's defense efforts." Beyond immediate operational concerns, the funding issue raises broader questions about European security. The recent loss of Avdiivka by Ukrainian forces and Russia's potential expansionist ambitions necessitate continued support for NATO exercises like those in the Suwalki Gap. These exercises simulate potential Russian incursions and are crucial for maintaining regional stability. The initial $3 billion allocated for Ukrainian operations proved insufficient, leading to the current funding gap. U.S. Army officials warn that without additional $2 billion by May, operations will grind to a halt. Meanwhile, the aid bill faces opposition from some U.S. House Republicans, creating a political hurdle. Despite the funding challenges, Vice President Kamala Harris reiterated U.S. commitment to Ukraine at the Munich Security Conference. However, the bill's fate remains uncertain, causing anxiety among European and U.S. allies. The need for swift action is clear. Continued delays could weaken Ukraine's defense capabilities and embolden Russia. We urge listeners to stay informed about developments and advocate for solutions that prioritize regional security and support for Ukraine. The future of Ukraine and the wider European security landscape depend on navigating this complex situation with a sense of urgency and international cooperation. Next, the Alabama Supreme Court has issued a controversial ruling that classifies human embryos as children with legal rights. This has generated significant debate and uncertainty regarding the future of in vitro fertilization, IVF, in the state and potentially beyond. The ruling has caused immediate disruption in Alabama, with the state's largest hospital chain suspending IVF procedures due to potential legal risks for their doctors. This has caused anxiety and scrambling among patients seeking alternative care, some traveling out of state. The ruling's long-term implications remain unclear. While the Alabama Attorney General has stated they won't use it to prosecute IVF families, legal uncertainty persists. Lawmakers are working on bipartisan legislation to address the issue. The ruling has received criticism from both sides of the political spectrum. Democrats see it as an attack on reproductive rights and a potential mobilizing tool for their base, while some Republicans also express concerns about its impact on IVF accessibility. The potential for this ruling to serve as a precedent for other states also raises concerns. The future of the ruling and its impact on IVF in Alabama and beyond is uncertain. It will be crucial to monitor the actions of the Alabama Attorney General. the fate of proposed legislation, and the number of clinics remaining operational. The potential for the Supreme Court's involvement remains unclear as questions about the law's implementation continue. Now, we focus on a momentous event, the Odysseus lunar landing, a mission rewriting history and igniting a new chapter in space exploration. On February 22, 2024, Intuitive Machines, IM, a Texas-based company, etched its name in the annals of spacefaring. Their creation, the Odysseus lander, touched down on the lunar surface, marking the first successful U.S. moon landing in 50 years. This feat wasn't without its hurdles, with glitches in the laser guidance system and delayed communication signals raising concerns. Yet, Odysseus persevered, becoming the first private spacecraft to reach the lunar plains. This achievement resonates on multiple levels. It signifies a triumph for private-public collaboration, with SpaceX launching the lander aboard a Falcon 9 rocket and NASA contributing crucial instruments. The mission employed diverse talents, featuring insulation from Columbia Sportswear and a student-developed camera from Embry-Riddle Aeronautical University. Beyond celebratory cheers, the landing carries strategic significance. It serves as a message to global competitors, reminding them of America's enduring ambition in space exploration. Amidst concerns about China's space program and Russia's nuclear satellite development, Odysseus reaffirms the U.S. commitment to space exploration, aiming to reignite national security efforts in this domain. Furthermore, the mission paves the way for NASA's Artemis program, aiming to land astronauts on the moon by 2026. This lunar odyssey could spark a new space race, with China, India, and Japan already boasting lunar landings and ambitious space programs. The stakes are high, and the competition fierce. However, Odysseus isn't solely about competition. It also signifies an investment in the lunar economy, with NASA contributing $118 million to encourage further ventures. This mission paves the way for future endeavors, potentially involving resource extraction and scientific exploration on the moon. The market responded positively, with IM stocks witnessing a 16% surge following the landing. This signals investor confidence in the burgeoning private space industry and its potential to revolutionize space exploration. While Odysseus's mission is projected to last only a week due to lunar temperatures, its impact will resonate for years to come. It marks a paradigm shift demonstrating the power of collaboration and innovation in unlocking the secrets of space. This is just the beginning of a new lunar era, and we, the space enthusiasts, are excited to witness the unfolding chapters of this extraordinary odyssey. As we delve deeper into the recent lunar landing of Odysseus, it's crucial to understand the bigger picture, the renewed focus on space and its strategic implications. We'll explore the Space Force's recent announcement, outlining their plans to optimize for great power competition in the cosmos. Firstly, let's acknowledge the historical context. The U.S.'s space ambitions haven't waned since the Cold War's space race, but priorities shifted after the 1969 moon landing. Now, with the 2019 establishment of the Space Force as an official military branch, space is back in the spotlight, driven by national security concerns. The Space Force's mission is clear: protect U.S. space capabilities and defeat adversaries' capabilities. This ambitious goal requires a multi-pronged approach, and recent announcements signal a strategic shift across American agencies. Remember the successful Odysseus mission? It's not just a lunar feat. It's a symbol of private-public collaboration in pursuit of a lunar economy. This aligns perfectly with the Air Force's recent announcement of sweeping changes to maintain air and space superiority. So what are these changes? The Space Force's focus revolves around four key areas: developing qualified personnel, ensuring combat readiness, projecting power, and fostering new capabilities. Essentially, they're building a Space Force that can react quickly and effectively to any threat. This translates to practical measures like streamlined training, securing strategic space assets, and preparing for adversaries, a term encompassing not just countries, but also non-state actors with space capabilities. The Space Force is also undergoing internal restructuring. They're redesigning career paths to create versatile guardians capable of handling diverse operational demands. Collaboration with the commercial space industry and allied nations is also emphasized. General Chance Saltzman, Chief of Space Operations, highlights the importance of these changes. This will help us share information more quickly with more stakeholders to address the challenges in today's competitive space environment. The Space Force is expanding roles for officers and civilians, offering new training, collaboration opportunities, and educational programs. While their current personnel is around 14,000, General Saltzman acknowledges, "We are small, but our value and impact are significant." This reorganization signifies the U.S.'s recognition of space as a crucial battleground in the emerging great power competition. With rivals like China and Russia actively pursuing space dominance, the Space Force needs to be prepared. The recent announcement of a potential Russian nuclear-armed satellite further underlines the urgency of these changes. The Space Force aims to have personnel capable of facing such threats with agility and decisiveness. This has been the North America Debrief by Atlas News.